Cara Lang, delighted to welcome you to the soccer show. And it's a girl from Oakville, Ontario.
Yeah.
Born in Calgary, you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last 5 years, you've pretty much made your home in Los Angeles because of school commitments and so on and so forth. And, of course, traveling with the women's team. So I suppose we should say welcome home first, because you're not here that much, are you?
Thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be home.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, you presumably get home for Christmas and that's about it these days.
Yeah, pretty much that. And whenever we have the odd home game, but that's very rare. So
yeah, that is rare. And that's got to improve. There's got to be more home games.
Absolutely.
I know I'm preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
But what, I mean, and perhaps I'm asking the wrong question, the wrong person, but what I'd like to know is what's got to happen for Canada's women's team, which is a success in global terms, and now as CONCACAF champions, to play more home games, to engage the fans and make stars out of the players.
Yeah, to be honest, I think there are a few issues there, but there's definitely no lack of determination from the players to play at home. I mean, we'd love to be able to build a bigger fan base at home and just gain that support and have that feeling of playing at home more than we do right now. I think it's really important to, at the grassroots level too, for players, for kids to be able to see their national team players at home.
Well, that's very true. I mean, you had that one game against China back in what, September, I guess.
Yeah.
And, I'm not sure what the attendance was at that particular game, but you know, I mean, Bob has spoken, and many of our guests have spoken so many times. Part of the problem of being a Canadian international is that whenever you play, even when you're playing a home game, never mind when you're down in Mexico, that it doesn't always feel like a home game.
Yeah, I mean, we had a pretty good turnout against China. I think it could have been better. I think that there is the support there and the interest. I think that there, as I said, there are a few issues from marketing to, you know, it was tough this past time because the men had some games the weeks before. So I think there was a little bit of an overlap with that in terms of marketing, but it needs to get better.
Mm. Well, I think the women have experienced a lot warmer home crowds than the men, Nigel.
Well, I'm sure that's true.
If we think about the great experience that the under-19s had in Edmonton,
yeah.
Right, Cara? And then if I think about even that great experience you had at Centennial Stadium against Italy, when there was 4,500 people, the place was just packed,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like everybody, you know, was Canadian and rooting for Canada, even against the U.S. last year, the first game in BMO Field when the U.S. won 4-0. But I think the crowd was there. I think the fans are potentially there. And I think the build-up to next year's World Cup, if the CSA is wise, would be great to bring a couple of preliminary games here in Canada. And I really believe we'll get big, big crowds to watch this particular team as they go towards the World Cup for next year. And Cara, I mean, maybe we should start by saying tell us just in as brief a little phrase as possible, just how the girls are feeling right now about their team.
You know what we should say before we say anything else?
Mm-hmm.
We should say congratulations.
Yeah,
thank
we should.
You.
We really should.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah,
we're forgetting our manners.
Congratulations, Cara.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
It was a magnificent achievement. And for anybody who didn't see it or hasn't been following the story, you went down to Mexico, you had a camp down there, you played five qualifying games, you won them all, you didn't concede a single goal, and you're CONCACAF gold champions, you're going to the World Cup. So now we've said congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
tell us a little bit about the Mexican experience.
As a team, we're all extremely happy right now. I mean, we went down there to qualify for the World Cup. That was our goal. And winning the whole tournament was kind of the cherry on top. And I think it not only puts us in a really good place as far as our pool for the World Cup and where we'll end up and which teams we'll end up playing. But it's just a really great boost right now for us as a program and into going into our preparations for the World Cup.
Now, of course, much has been made over the last 12, 18 months of the difference in style that has been brought about by the hiring of Carolina Muracci. We've had a lot of people on this show spoken in glowing terms about mm-hmm. the turnaround and the change in style that has been affected. You've been an integral part of that, so you can speak to exactly what has happened and how difficult it has been to make that change.
Yeah, it has been a little bit of a process. I mean, Carolina came in and she pretty much flipped the program upside down and our style of play, but for the better. It came at a time when it was exactly what we needed. Actually, probably we could have used a change like that a little earlier, but we're very fortunate to have her and her entire staff, actually. I mean, from right down from the team doctors and the therapists and her assistant coaching staff all the way up to, obviously, herself. I mean, the program is just completely different. It feels different, and it's awesome.
We haven't done justice in the media to introduce Carolina Maracci to the Canadian soccer fan, because, Cara, you and I spoke just briefly before the show just how influential this woman is, just how much respected she is internationally, in Italy, at FIFA, in CONCACAF now, and surely that rubs off on every player, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, from the moment she arrived, it was just so apparent that, you know, she deserved our respect. Even for those of us that didn't know her history or her reputation, just she demands respect. And instantly, I mean, when you have with a team, you know, that's so important. And for us, you know, we were all on board from day one. And I think it shows now.
Was it, I mean, it wouldn't be a problem for you, but for those of the players who don't speak Italian, was there an issue as far as language barrier was concerned to start with?
It was a little bit of a challenge. Mm. I mean, in all honesty, but she had a translator, and at this point, you know, her English is excellent.
It is,
and
now,
so
yeah.
It's not an issue. It was challenging, but it didn't really get in the way of anything that she was trying to achieve, and she always got her point across.
And what was that? And what was that original point? I mean, she came in day one and got the group of players together and said what?
Well, first of all, she said that I am not here to cut anybody. That's
a relief.
A relief for sure. just knowing that she was coming in and she was going to change our style. I think, you know, there were a lot of questions of whether or not we were going to be able to play her style. And she came in and said that she'd been watching us for years and, that she was more than confident that we would all be able to play that style.
Isn't that interesting? The fact that she knew what you were capable of before she ever came in and was confident that whatever style you've been asked to do before, that style could be changed for the better. That's a brave thing to say.
Well, but I'm not surprised, because Carolina was the best in her field. Mm-hmm. She played for an Italian team that got zero notoriety in Italy. And she fought for that. She fought for women's soccer in Italy, which is still, and I'm sorry to say, it's still a very chauvinist country. Mm. And she fought hard. And I know she followed the great teams over the last 10 years, of which Canada's won. And what I wanted to ask Karen, I did ask you outside, is even at the height of Evan Pellerud's tenure, when you went to the World Cup and you were ranked, I think, even as high as 4 or 5, versus today, and entering next year's World Cup versus entering that of Pellerud, I know it's not fair to make comparisons, but I think it's right to, because the style of change and the way that the team plays now, surely you're feeling more confident as a team with regards to actually getting a medal.
Yeah.
And I'll be bold enough to say you have a chance for gold here, Cara.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear. And you know, we as a team feel the same way. I mean, I think the biggest difference now compared to before was that we knew that if we were going to make it to the finals of the World Cup or win a tournament for that matter, in any case, it was always going to be a struggle. It was always going to be a matter of grit and determination. And I think having gone through that, you know, it's benefited us in the fact that we still have that, you know, that's what we're known for as Canadians. But now we have all the tools in the toolbox, and that's the difference.
I think it's also about the fact of being cognizant that the rest of the world is catching up in terms of women's soccer.
Yeah.
And pretty quickly.
Physically, for sure. I mean, I think that, you know, 6 years ago, we could get away with being the faster and the stronger team. But, you know, other countries are catching up physically, and now it's we've all got to adapt, and we've all got to become better soccer players.
If you're listening on the radio, or you're listening on iTunes, or you're listening to the podcast, you can't really appreciate this, but we're absolutely delighted to say, and kudos to Richard Scott from the Canadian Soccer Association, who was beetled all the way down from Ottawa, so he tells me, to bring the Gold Cup to the Soccer Show studio. And if you're watching on Sedanta Sports, there it is.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's got to be, what, 2.5, 3 feet tall? And we
about
just had
200 pounds.
Well, I don't know if it's 200, Cara, but maybe 100 pounds.
It's a pretty weighty trophy.
It is.
It really is. And it's the second time that Canada's women has won it. Do you know when they last won it?
Oh.
Do you want to just take a wild guess, or do you want me to tell you?
This is 2002?
1998.
Oh, 19. I was close.
Yeah. But here's the thing. 1998, won it in Toronto at Etobicoke. At Centennial Stadium, I guess that would have been. And they beat Mexico in that final as well by a single goal. But in that year, in 1998, the US didn't compete.
I see.
And the reason the US didn't compete in the Women's Gold Cup that year was because they were hosting the Women's World Cup the following year. So, of course, they were host. They didn't
need to
qualify.
I see. So they didn't need to qualify.
So the significant thing here, and I'm making a bit of a mountain out of a mole here, or a long story short, or a short story long.
Short story long.
A short story long is, Cara Lang, that this time you won it and the USA was competing, and that's why this is particularly significant.
Yeah, they were there, that's
they
for sure.
were there. I don't know whether you actually were in the stadium. I guess you would have been for that semi-final against Mexico. Thereabouts.
We were actually back at our hotel. We had to come back and start our recovery ice baths, but we were definitely all in the lobby cheering on that game.
Yeah.
We were almost excited about that game as we
and
were
about
ours.
And then you realized the ice baths.
But Cara, you must know a lot of the gals on the U.S. team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, having played at UCLA all these years and played against all these girls probably in college, were you able to talk to them after the game and ask them what happened? Or do you have any stories about their views on it? Or
yeah, I think they were a little bit in shock, to be honest. Well, that's what they said afterwards. I think, you know, it's been so long since they've lost, let alone, you know, a major tournament like this. Mm. And I think they just went in overconfident. You know, they got ahead of themselves. And I think as a team, they did a little bit of regrouping. And as I said, I think that they will go to Italy. And I'm pretty sure that they'll do well. I think that they just kind of decided that there were some changes they needed to make. And
It was extraordinary to watch. And for anybody who didn't see or didn't read the reports about that semi-final against Mexico, bearing in mind the way Canada had played against Mexico and the sort of performance that Mexico had come up with against Canada, and then suddenly they're playing the US and they come out a completely different team. It was like chalk and cheese. Mm-hmm. And they were worthy winners against the US on that night.
Yeah,
for that
absolutely.
90 minutes, you couldn't argue with the result.
Yeah. It was, the US just did not look like themselves, and Mexico played a great game.
Mm-hmm.
It was, that's really all there is. Yeah. They deserve to win.
I tell you what I didn't see at the presentation ceremony at the end. I didn't see many smiles on the American girls' faces at the end.
Yeah, no, I saw
a lot of people thinking, looking at their bronze medals and thinking, yeah, I didn't come for a bronze medal.
Yeah. And I think even worse than that, they had to head back out on the road as soon as the tournament was
really?
Over. I mean, that was a big thing for us, was we'd been preparing for 2.5 months straight leading up to the Gold Cup or to the tournament. And had we not won, we would have been off to Italy right away. And I think mentally, that's just got to be devastating.
Cara, tell us a little bit about your personal situation. You've gone through some trying years with injuries. You've been part of this team, but you're still not that 100% Cara Lang we remembered from 4 or 5 years
ago.
Well,
I think there's a lot of people who wondered where Cara Lang was in this tournament.
Yeah.
You didn't really play much in this tournament. And explain why that was.
Well, I'm still recovering right now from an ACL injury that I had last year. It was the end, my last season at UCLA, so almost exactly a year now, and it was the second ACL reconstruction on the same knee. So this second time around, it's been a bit of a process. It's taken a lot longer than I had hoped. Carolina just didn't feel that I was ready yet. And as I was telling you earlier, you know, I respect her so much that if that's what she thinks, then I must not have been ready.
Any reason why it's taken longer this time out? Is it just as a result of the fact that it's the same knee and it, you know?
I was warned that it would. And I think I was a little bit stubborn in the fact that I thought, you know, I came back earlier than expected the first time around.
Come back too early?
I did. Mm-hmm. This time around I did. I was impatient, and I think maybe that's the lesson that I was meant to learn in this case. But
It's a character builder. It's a character builder having to sit there and watch your mates, and you've been on that field in glorious times before, wanting to share it. Then you have to share it, and you feel happy for the girls, but there's a little emptiness inside, you know. And you know who's a good example of overcoming these hardships is David Beckham. And you and I have spoken many times how Beckham has fought back from some not only injuries, but being on the wrong side of the fan thermometer.
Oh my word!
Oh my, and he's fought back, and he's resilient, and he's now primed to win an MLS Cup with LA after that terrible Achilles injury.
Yeah.
And you know what, Carr? I mean, I've seen you score some big goals for Canada. I think you still got some big goals coming for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's.
You're saving them all up for Germany next year.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, I feel that. I really
feel
that, yeah.
So talking along those lines, what lies ahead now? Because you're all backs from Mexico. I think I'm right in saying that Carolina has gone straight to Italy to see the playoff, apart from, and presumably visit family and friends while she's there. But what about the players now? I mean, what happens over the next 6-7 months as far as the roster's concerned?
Well, actually, we had a little bit of a meeting as soon as we realized that we'd qualified and we could actually look at the schedule for the upcoming
months.
I'm
finished drinking out of this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get something in this thing?
No, we didn't. Had we been allowed, I don't even think we would have been able to hold it above our heads.
Yeah,
so
that's heavy.
I know. It just wasn't possible.
I'm sorry, I'm being rude. I interrupted you.
No, we had that meeting where we could finally, you know, once we'd qualified, we could start preparing for the next few months. And we all realized that there wasn't really going to be anything else but this team until the World Cup. It's pretty much nonstop preparations. We're going to Brazil for most of December, and then we get a little bit of time off for Christmas. And then starting in January, it's just full steam ahead.
Mm.
It's exciting.
I'd take it. Need anybody to carry your bags?
No, thank you.
Stats.
You can carry the trophy.
I'll carry the trophy. I could be the official trophy carrier. I could do that.
Yeah.
That's how I could make a living. Talking of which, something that we spoke about briefly before the show, I mean, we think about professional soccer, and I know that you were born a generation too early, because otherwise you'd be a multimillionaire.
Well, I'm rich.
Well,
as
it's
it
true.
Is.
Well, I know you are, but you know what I'm saying.
I do.
Yeah. Now, of course, the women's game is a different animal altogether from the point of view of financial reward. We've talked to Bob about your studies at UCLA and so on and so forth. You've been a star on the Canadian national team since you were 15 years of age, but the financial reward isn't there in the women's game. So, I mean, at what stage does Carr Lang, now having finished her studies at UCLA, have to get a proper job? Can soccer sustain you?
Right now, as far as soccer in Canada, for players in Canada, soccer is not really a lucrative career in any sense of the word. To be honest, a lot of us are breaking even playing for this team, some of us losing money playing for the team.
Really?
It's hard to make a living, for sure. You know, we're not complaining in the sense that we love doing this.
You
otherwise,
love what you
we
do.
Wouldn't
of course
do
you
it.
Do. Yeah.
But we're not walking away with, you know, any kind of retirement fund or anything like that. That's for sure. And
you have to live day to day, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
I got to ask this question,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, carry on.
Cara, if Canada was to win the World Cup, Have you discussed with, and because I've been in these discussions with the CSA,
oh my goodness.
Have you discussed with the CSA perhaps that the players should be rewarded in some capacity?
We've been trying to work out a plan with the CSA for the next. We would like to set up a 2-year plan so that we can have some sense of security and know what we're getting into, because in the past, talking about any kind of bonuses for winning a tournament has been very stressful, because those talks usually lead into the tournament, and so we're discussing things.
And you don't want to be talking about it.
No,
then.
That's the last thing
and
you want to be talking about.
Of course, those people never give you definite answers.
Well, that's
always
the problem.
Say they don't really know.
The other problem that Cara was pointed out before the show was that while you were at UCLA, of course, if you took money as a professional athlete, then you infringe your NCAA status.
Yeah, and any of the players on our team who are playing in the NCAA right now are ineligible to receive any kind of money that is even available. There isn't very much as it is, but that little that there is, they can't even receive it. So when I was playing at 15, even anticipating playing in the NCAA, I was I still had to maintain my amateur status. So as of until this past March when I graduated, I, you know, had not made anything off of playing for the national team.
But you could now, and you'll take it if they offer it.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to turn anything down, that's for sure.
Well, it's not a charity. I mean, we're talking about the Women's National Team of Canada, which actually, in global terms, is a pretty decent team, ranked 13th in the world at the moment, and probably after this tournament in Mexico will be in the top 10. A lot higher than that.
Big time.
And there has to be, you know, there has to be some give and take here. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Yeah, well, and aside from our personal, you know, financial situations, I think in terms of a team, if we want to be competing against these teams, the best teams in the world, with 50% of the resources that they have, you know, it's a little bit of an unrealistic expectation when you really look at it. You know, we want to get there, and it's not that we don't have the commitment or the determination.
No, I'm sure.
But it's just there's an issue of resources.
But there's a rate for the job at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? I mean, the simple arithmetic based on revenues from the World Cup and the participating teams, there's television money that comes through.
For sure.
I mean, somebody in the CSA is right now working overtime under a hot lamp, figuring out what these numbers are, right?
They are, and it's something that we will come back to time and time again. We haven't got any more time to explore it on this show, and I don't want to finish the show on a downbeat or a controversial note. I never like to do that. So I shall finish by saying, please pass our congratulations on to all the other 19 playing members of the team. We look forward to seeing you in Germany in 2011. Is there one thought that you take away from Mexico, one highlight for you personally that will sustain you and keep you going and flying towards Germany?
I think,
other than that great goal against Guyana, of course.
Oh, thank you. I think just the sense of confidence that we have and the belief in ourselves now that we have, that we're walking away with. You know, we know now that we can compete against the best teams in the world.
And we expect you to do so. You realize that now.
Well,
Canada expects, over the next 6 or 7 months, big things in Germany 2011. Cara, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.